What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, August 23rd, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Reverend Jared Petty.
Feeling insufferably chipper today, Greg
Miller. I heard you in the other room talking about this. You just woke up in a good mood.
I did. I went to bed at like 7:45 last night. I was just really tired. I woke up this morning, and I woke up in a good mood.
What time did you get up?
Oh, I woke up at like 7. Got up, full 12 hours, started doing some work. I had some stuff I had to write.
Yeah.
Got up, wrote for a couple hours, came on over here. In the lift on the way here, convinced the driver that video games are a great art form he needs to get into. He seemed legitimately excited about it. He was going to check it out, going to play some Fortnite with his nephew.
Okay.
That was pretty awesome.
Sure.
So that was really cool. Came in here. It's been a good morning. Everybody was here. Just glad to see everybody. I feel like a calibri of possibility and positivity this morning. It's not a good
word.
Day.
I don't know. That doesn't sound like a word, right?
Calibri, not only is it a fine hummingbird-based shooter for the Sega 32X, but also the name of a teeny tiny little gun in that game. But yeah, it just means hummingbird.
So. Here's what I want to know. I've been gone a while. I'm here. I'm dusting it all off. Almost a week off the mic. You know what I mean? That should take something out of you, some people say.
Yep.
I love the hat. I tweeted you, I texted you, I guess. I love the hat. The hat's great. Not because it's our hat. You just look great in it.
Oh, I appreciate thought it was because it was your hat. I thought you were like, Jared, I like you with this brand.
I like you wearing Kind of Funny stuff, of course. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've never heard of this site down here. I love this kind of funny stuff.
World's colliding.
Exactly. No, we love IGN. Here, why are you wearing the hat these days?
Okay.
Because I feel like you're growing your hair out. Your hair's looking long on the side. The beard's looking very full, too.
This isn't a bad thing.
You look great.
No, I don't. No, if I take the hat off.
Well, I don't mean that. I don't know what's happening today.
As Tim Getty said the other day.
Was this on camera?
Jared, on camera. He said, Jared, I'm going to be honest. Your head looks like one of my testicles right now. I took the hat off, and he said this yesterday, and I already knew this. That's why I've been wearing the hat.
Sure.
I have made the classical what we do for a living mistake of overcommitting.
I have too much
to get done before the end of the month.
Sure.
So things like, say, personal grooming have kind of gone by the wayside.
You can watch it on a good Kind of Funny run. You'll see my hair get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then I just finally have to go get it. But I hate getting haircuts because I never have the time.
Exactly, and I don't have the time. And even though it's my you think, oh, we could just shave his head. It's not that simple.
Sure.
It takes more work than it looks like it does. So right now, I look awful.
You don't look awful. He's being rude.
Look at these things up there. Yeah. I got like antennas coming out of the top of my head.
You don't look awful.
I look pretty terrible.
Man, so, I'll tell you, here's what I'll say. You don't look awful, and if Tim's testicles look like that, they look awful. That's a bad look for a testicle.
What I told Tim,
good look for a head,
was that he just needs to get two tiny little hats and put them on his testicles, and then his testicles will look like me.
There you go.
That's right.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you are one of the people watching right now live on Twitch, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. And tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you, Jared.
Yes, sir.
Number one, PAX is next week. PAX West up in Seattle. Kinda Funny's all over it. Greg, that's me, Jared, Andrea, and more than 20 of your favorite video game personalities are squaring off in the Kinda Funny Inner Sight Championship Saturday at 7 p.m. in the Hydra Theater. Then Greg, Jared, Corey, Barlog, and more are all talking about the perfect Superman game Friday at 3 p.m. in the Wyvern Theater.
Wyvern.
No, you're pronouncing it wrong.
I'm pronouncing it wrong?
Wyvern.
I don't think that's correct. Wyvern sounds like a character on Andy Griffith. I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, you know what? Yeah, PAX, get over it. Because they keep using all these mythical creatures.
That's going to be Greg,
video games.
Greg Miller, yeah. Cat Bailey, Sidney Goodman, me.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, it was going to be Gary Whitta, but, you know.
I'm Gary Whitta. I got things to do.
Yeah, exactly, I can't come to PAX. Yeah,
Corey Barlog's still coming, though, right?
Yeah, Corey Barlog's still going to be there. That's right. So we're going to talk
Here's what I'm going to say about Corey Barlog. Yeah. Everybody needs to keep their eye on him because he's up to something. I see him out. He took the God of War success and on the lead up to it, built up his personality, and now he's exploded. I see him giving speeches all over the place. He's putting up funny tweets. He's interacting with people. He's on our panel. This guy's looking to break out. Be careful.
You think it might just be, you know, God of War 2? I think Corey's kind of made it in life. That would be my guess.
I mean, I hope that's what it is, but he scares me in terms of what if he just wants to come take over this show? What if he wants to take over some other show? What if he wants to start some show? What's that? You miss him?
I miss him. It was nice having him.
I'd welcome him with open arms if he came to take over.
I'm just letting you know, Corey Barlog is up to no good and trying to take over everybody's jobs.
But yeah, it's pretty exciting. And people have been asking if that's going to be streamed. That is going to be streamed on Twitch.tv's PAX site. So people could, that aren't
so
at PAX
is ours.
Are still going to be able
well,
to watch.
Both of them. I guess all the panels I'm telling you about will be streamed.
I think, actually, no, because you're also going to tell them about the Red Dead Radio panel the next day.
I'm not
going to
do that. Do you see the bullet points on there? They're not there.
I'm putting it there anyway. That one's not going to be streamed. But it'll be recorded and shown on Red Dead Radio later that
week. If you're going to PAX and you want to see the Red Dead panel, Jared, where do they go?
You go on Saturday at 11 o'clock, and I didn't write the name of the theater down on the sheet.
Sure.
That'd be way too helpful.
Sandworm.
You know what? You go to the theater that there's not a line outside at 11 on Saturday, and that's going to be Red Dead Radio.
Sunday, of course, Andrea and What's Good Games close it out. Hydra Stage, 10 a.m. Come see them podcast. Heads up that the Patreon fan mail for the month of August, you only have a couple days left, is, of course, a signed photo of the champ, Nick Scarpino. However, while I was gone, apparently, they've upped the ante, and what they've done is added a second one. So there are now two exclusive photos signed. If you go to patreon.com/kindoffunny or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get them signed, and you can put them up there.
The one on your left hand is for Kind of Funny Prime.
This is Kind of Funny Prime.
And the one on your right hand,
Kind of Funny Games.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. We got two different fan mail tiers. Go get your autographed photos of Nick. Great stuff coming next month. You have my word on it. And then today we're brought to you by MeUndies. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's start the show with what is and forever will be a jam-packed Roper Report. Time for some news. Six items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
I'll tell you what. I'm exhausted after this. We went to the Cisco wedding. I went to Chicago. I had the opposite yesterday. We woke up at 5:20 a.m. Chicago time.
Ooh.
3 o'clock, 20-hour time, right?
Yeah.
Flew here. I slept maybe 40 minutes on the plane.
Right.
Played games restful.
Plane sleep doesn't count.
It's never restful, right?
Yeah.
We got here. We struggled on throughout the day. There was a brief talk of taking a nap. It never happened. And then when I finally laid my head down at like 10:30, couldn't fall asleep. So I used to do that tossing and turning for a long time. Many a thing rattling in my brain as we get closer to PAX and Spider-Man and a million things going on. And so now I woke up today like, well, at least it's Friday. And then I'm like, motherfucker, it ain't even Friday. And I'm exhausted, but I'm feeling good right now. Because again, the energy I put out on a show, Kevin, different than the energy I use to talk to you people.
I feel it.
Now, the reserve for show energy all over the place.
You've tapped into auxiliary power.
I have. I'm like Johnny Five.
That's
I need
great.
A hero.
That's
leading
right.
That as like, Oscar! Number one on the Roper Report, Xbox has something maybe called Xbox All Access. I'm kicking it over to Tom Warren at The Verge, who writes, Microsoft is planning to unveil an Xbox All Access service that will bundle the company's Xbox One consoles with Xbox Live and Xbox Game Pass for a monthly fee. Codenamed Project Largo, Microsoft has been working towards the subscription service in recent months. Sources familiar with Microsoft's plans tell The Verge that both the Xbox One S and Xbox One X will be offered as a subscription, and that Microsoft is planning to offer its Xbox One X bundled with Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass for $34.99 per month over 24 months. The subscription will be available for Microsoft's retail stores, and the company is also working with PC makers to try and offer this bundle elsewhere. Windows Central reported on Xbox All Access today after teased details of the new service 3 weeks ago. Microsoft will limit its Xbox All Access service to the U.S. consumers initially, but if it's successful, then it could appear in other markets in the future. Microsoft also offered a subsidized Xbox 360 bundle with Xbox Live Gold more than 6 years ago. Microsoft is also working on a new Xbox accessory, codenamed Washburn. The software maker had planned to unveil the 149 accessory at Gamescom this week and accidentally teased an, quote, all-new Xbox hardware announcement before the company's plans changed. This mysterious accessory is due to launch in October, just after Microsoft's launch of Forza Horizon 4. It's not an Xbox Elite successor, but expect the company to detail its new hardware accessory soon. Jared.
Yes, sir.
What do you take about bundling Xbox One S or Xbox One X with Game Pass with Xbox Live Gold?
I think for a lot of people, it's a great value proposition. I don't think it's something that I'm going to go for because I like owning my hardware. I'm
sure.
Weird that way. That is not because I think it's better to own hardware. It's just what I want. I'm a collector. I like to collect things. I like to have something be mine and be able to do with it what I want. But for a lot of, we were just discussing recently on Kind of Funny, somebody wrote in and asked about, hey, you know, people playing next-gen consoles, last-gen consoles, guess what? Next-gen consoles are actually really expensive.
Yeah.
This offers a great value proposition for a whole new audience. And I think that's fantastic.
Exactly.
That we're putting next-gen gaming in the hands of more people with something like this. Also, that other, you know, Washburn, if that is the streaming box, I expect it to be. I don't know if it is.
Wait, when you say streaming, you mean for streaming games?
Yes.
You mean...
What if that is a way to access many of the services on Xbox One without having an Xbox One?
Okay.
What if it's a way to kind of PSNify some Xbox One games and allow you to experience certain select Microsoft
games?
So
it's Game Pass and it's Xbox Live? Yeah. Isn't that what they were pitching with the codename Scarlet? Sorry, that was the thing going on for next gen?
What if that?
I mean, that'd be awesome. I think there'd be a bigger hullabaloo about that coming out.
I think there would too. I just think we're a little early on it. And I could be very wrong. My predictions are often incorrect and uninformed, as this one is. But Washburn, I mean, $150 is not a trivial amount of money.
Well, yeah, but isn't that... Oh, sorry. I'm apologizing. New coffee cup I hit.
That's all right.
What? The Elite controller is up similar to that, isn't it? 120?
Yeah, it's.
Is it?
Yeah.
Kevin, can you give me a Google? Give me a Google on how much an Elite.
I'm on
Thanks,
it.
Kevin. Good to see you. I missed you.
If I spend $150 for a controller, it better do my dishes for me. I mean, that's all I could say about that. It
$150 for the. Yeah, see, that's my thing.
I guess it could be a controller, but I mean, $150, in my opinion, is the sweet spot price point for a streaming box that plays some Xbox games.
Sure.
That's about where I think people would buy into it in the United States.
I appreciate while I was gone, you did have that conversation about the cost of next gen, whatever, current gen hardware, right? I saw it go up on the subreddit, people talking about that, and thank you for saying that. And I think that's what this speaks to, right, with what they're talking about, codename Project Largo, in the way that, there's the barrier and sticker shock of, hey, you're buying this $400 system, and then you're going to buy all these games to add in, and then you're going to go, and like it adds up quick. Whereas right now, what an easy... I mean, in theory, way to wrap a parent's head around it, to wrap into your monthly budget, right? Of like, cool, $35 a month. I have an Xbox One S or X. I assume maybe it's going to be more for X. I have an Xbox.
Yeah.
Leave it at that, right? I have this Game Pass, which gives me pretty much unlimited games. Granted, they're not all, you know, the latest and greatest, but there's plenty of stuff in there I haven't seen. And I get to go play online. Like, yeah, that's a great deal for somebody who's like, just wants to budget it out and be done with it. And doesn't have what we're talking about, right? The disposable income, the lump sum right now to put out there and do it. It's why Rent-A-Center and Lease Centers do so well, right?
Yeah,
layaway plans
at
Kmart.
But without the like predatory nature of it that comes with some of those places where they charge ridiculous interest rates or super high prices.
Sure.
This doesn't appear to be that kind of deal. Also, it has the potential to take Games Pass games and reinvigorate online communities on some of those games. You know, people move on from those. But if you suddenly have a huge install base around some of these older games or less high-profile games, you're also going to reinvigorate those, which makes third-party publishers really, really happy because people are back in their games. And, ooh, more value, more customers. On top of that, I think back to, like, 1998 or so when genuine competition originally entered the PC market for processors. A long time, and I realize this sounds odd, but the price of computers like got cut in half in a year, around that time, because suddenly AMD and Cyrix were undercutting Intel like at the cutting edge level, and the price of PCs just plummeted. Around that same period of time, you had these free PC deals like this, where you subscribe to online services, you'd subscribe to an ISP, and you get your computer for free with it. And that trend never took off. But I think this is that same kind of innovation where they're looking at, you hear it all the time, that blue ocean, those customers that we've never been able to reach, and they're finding a way to get to them. Not for me, great for a lot of people.
I'm doing the math here real quick.
Yeah.
And then Game Pass, Xbox.
Okay, he's doing the math.
Game.
Look at that. Look at all this.
Should have done it beforehand, but you know.
Algorithms going on over here.
Cashing up. A lot of things are going on.
Algorithms happening. Right now. The back computer is being consulted. It's going to do that little printout.
Oh, man. Remember that? For some reason, I associate the 60s back computer doing the printout and those cards to being delicious. There's always, I don't know why, but it's like that paper, I must have been like eating treats or whatever at grandma's house while I did it or whatever.
Greg, I'm not gonna lie, that's weird.
Kevin, what I need you to do, because my phone's being weird, is tell me what the price of Xbox Game Pass is.
Okay.
For a year. I'm hitting join now on it, and it's just stalling out.
It's just like, I don't, you can't join.
Because right now, an Xbox One X, $500.
Right.
Xbox Live for a year is $50, so we'll take that to 100, because I'm giving you a two-year thing now here.
Right.
What is it? Xbox is launching a six-month subscription for $60.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so hold on. That's 180. No,
this is 6 months.
Look at that. All right, we're getting all over the place here.
60. Well, yeah, okay, so 6 months is $60. So $240. For 2 years, right? Carry the one. So, okay, cool. Well, that's actually just, that was a lot of work to get to the fact that it's the exact same price as if you bought it all.
Yeah, but.
So you're right, because I wanted to know if there was an interest, if there was a bump, there was a break. No, mm-hmm. 840 is what you're looking at total for all
so
that.
So it appears, if our mathematics are correct here,
and right when is Greg Miller ever wrong with math?
That what you always have here is a value proposition where you're effectively getting financing for the box, because I assume the box is yours once you've paid everything off.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. I would imagine that, yeah, once this is done, yeah, you own the box.
You own the box. So it's a way of doing financing without any interest rate. That's kind of rad.
I want to bring Brandon into the conversation. Brandon wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can and says, good afternoon, Greg and Jared. I was hoping to hear your guys' opinion on comments made by Mr. Miyamoto at the CEDEC conference. This is, I saw it via Bloomberg, where he said, quote, game developers should heed lessons from the music industry, which is still struggling to recover after consumers learned to consume music for free through MP3 file sharing, as well as YouTube and streaming services. He said subscription-style services could play a bigger role in games, but said that the key is to develop a culture of paying for good software. Do you think Xbox Game Pass presents a problem for developers looking to make a return on investment, or is this the inevitable future of gaming? Thanks and have a great day, Brandon from Wisconsin. P.S. Jared, I love the endless content you've been working on, and the talk on Gamescast about preserving gaming history was fascinating.
Well, thank you, Brandon. That's a nice thing to say.
Jared, of course, running the Gamescast for us. It's up right now, all over the place. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast servers around the globe about the history or preserving history of gaming. But all that away, what did you see this from the comments Mr. Miyamoto made?
I did. So I think maybe it's Secret Option 3, Greg.
Okay.
Again, I've stated before that I like physical copies of things. I like being able to own things. I do think that streaming services are practically inevitable because of the value proposition that they bring. The fact is that people have found ways to make those so enormously profitable for investors that people are just going to keep trying to do it until one of them sticks, until they find that service we want. And guess what? Streaming makes a lot of us happy in a lot of ways. It makes us unhappy in some ways. Availability becomes a problem. I want to download The Searchers right now, and I can't. It's not out there on any of the major streaming services.
I was trying to watch Spider-Man last night, you know what I mean? Streaming, and I was just like, oh, this is a pain in the ass. Where is
it? Right, and I don't want that to happen with games. Fortunately, with very few exceptions, I can still go out and buy a copy of Spider-Man if I want to for myself. As long as it works that way, I'm going to be very happy. I think Mr. Miyamoto understands that reality better than most of us do. Yeah. I think what he's saying is we need to make sure we don't devalue games in the process of adding streaming to the way we purchase and play games. Mm-hmm. It will not be the only method. Free-to-play games may or may not be affected by streaming in various ways. Boutique games or things like limited run games are obviously going to keep happening. You're still going to be able to get your hands on physical copies of things, I think, for the foreseeable future. But streaming does present a great value proposition for the people who make money on that side and potentially with competition for people on our side.
I think the big thing too is that what Miyamoto's talking about is what we've talked about before, is when you look at the App Store, right, for mobile games, where it is that race to the bottom. Why isn't this game free? They get the expectation that everything should be free. If you introduce streaming in the way I think a lot of Xbox Game Pass already has for the most part. Now, Xbox trying to catch up, so they're, hey, our first party titles are going on there too, and Day and Date and all this different stuff. I think you still have it set up that I don't expect every AAA release from Xbox or anyone to be on Game Pass.
Yeah.
So I understand that getting Game Pass, which you just brought up, right, is great for reinvigorating old games, you know, giving games that have come and gone another chance to live, another chance for those multiplayer communities to get behind them and have an audience. It's great for those indies in the same way PlayStation Plus can be great for those indies. Now, of course, PlayStation Plus is a tale of two PlayStation Pluses, right? Something like Rocket League, sure. Hey, put out this multiplayer game that's going to hook people and go. The other side, of course, we just saw with Future Lab or this week, right? Feels like I've been gone a year. Talking about, hey, yeah, you know what? Like, we did it, and it didn't. We got our thing, and we got installs, but we didn't make money on it, and that was a huge problem. And I think it is that wrestling with those conundrums and figuring out what game works, what is the best type of game to work on a streaming service, to be there for it.
Yeah, I think about what the guys that were working on Velocity mentioned, right? Sure. Yeah, it's like, hey, millions of people played this game. We can't get a sequel made because nobody actually spent money for it. Streaming maybe could help in a situation like that. Maybe hurt. I don't know which. I do think Miyamoto raises another important point, which is that not all games cost the same to make.
Sure.
But streaming services tend to be pay the same amount for everything you're getting your hands on. What's a company like Nintendo that's spending $50 to $100 million making a video game looking at when they're sitting next to a competitor that's spending $500,000 to $1 million to make the same video game and pricing them side by side? That's not going to work for some, you know, you don't make Breath of the Wild that way.
Yeah.
And he's raising a really legitimate red flag about how pricing models are going to have to work if this industry is going to stay sustainable. That's another thing to consider.
Jared, I like where I like what you just stumbled into. You did one of those things where you gave me a good transition into a reader mail question.
A Gregway?
My dog Nick 96 from Massachusetts writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, good day, Greg and Andrea. Well, strike one. I want to ask, why is Life is Strange 2 $39.99? The first game launched with a $19.99 price tag for the whole season. I'd like to think it's a few reasons. Parentheses, better established IP, newer engine, licensed music. End parentheses. I'm interested to see what Don't Nod has in store for us, but do you think other story-driven, episodic games will have a similar price point, namely the future Telltale titles? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Take that hen to a lovely dinner. My dog, Nick 96. P.S. I'm aiming to buy one of those 500 million PlayStation 4 Pros tomorrow. I'll keep you posted. Wish me luck. Go get him, my dog, Nick 96.
It is incomprehensible how much it costs to make a video game.
Sure.
They cost a fortune. An absolute fortune. In a game like Life is Strange, where you have a fairly good idea of how many copies you're likely to sell beforehand versus how much you know it's going to cost to make, you can sit there on the other side and do the best spreadsheet math possible and go, this is the price point we need to set if we're going to actually make any money on this. And I suspect that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I think it is the idea that, not that no one thought Life is Strange would be successful, the original game. I don't think people thought it would be this successful, that it would find the footing in the audience and become an established IP that already has a sequel prequel and now has Life is Strange 2 coming, right? That there's iterations of it. And I think if you're Don't Nod, who, you know, pumped the brakes on or immediately putting out 2, Let Before the Storm Come, I think it is the idea that, all right, cool, people loved what we did there. And you talk to any game developer, right? We left so much on the cutting room floor. The budgets get involved, this, that, and the other. They probably had Square come to them and like, all right, cool, here's more money for this next game. Go bigger with it. Yeah, sure, licensed music, like, because that's such a big deal, like you're bringing up, different voice actors, so on and so forth. And I would think it is improvements, hiring more people for the team, doing these things.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just a cash grab, which would be the downside of it, which would be the bad way to go, right? Oh, it's number two. People love the first. Same amount of effort, same amount of work, and there you go. That doesn't sound like Don't Nod from what I know of them.
Yeah, here's an exercise for the kind of funny best friends that are jumping wondering about jacks, stuff do like 10 this, right? Just go and take a game you love, watch the credits, count the number of people in the credits.
Yeah.
Now sit down and take all those people and give them the salary that they're probably worth, plus their health insurance benefits.
Sure.
Take that, add all that up, multiply that times 5 years, add to that all the travel, equipment, office space, power, and most especially marketing, convention appearances, floor fees, etc., just to show the thing off that go in, all the incidental stuff that you have to have, the fact that you've got to hire legal departments to cover all kinds of things. You've got to get the game actually out there, that you've got to pay for insurance. We got to, you know, put all that together and just do the math yourself. And take that number and look at it and think that what you've just constructed is the minimum that it costs to put that game together and there will likely cost you're not anticipating.
Yeah, exactly.
And it comes up to an ungodly number.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about.
Exactly. Number two on the Roper Report. This is a short one. Don't worry. There's an Indies Showcase next week. Nintendo tweeted, tune in August 28th at 9 a.m. Pacific time for a new hashtag Nindies Showcase video presentation highlighting multiple unannounced indie games coming to hashtag Nintendo Switch.
Always excited about them Nindies.
Hell yeah, I can't wait.
Really, really.
Those are some often like, well, I mean, the most exciting announcement things, right? Because it's so many games, you're going to find something you want.
I mean, they did the stealth release at Nintendo Gamescom. UK recently. This like, oh, by the way, here's Windjammers 2.
Yeah, yeah. Or the announcement of it, right?
Here's
Morphe's Law, right?
Here's a sequel to Dragon's Trap?
Yeah.
Like, freaking incredible. So who knows what's coming next? We live in a world where anything predict? Can happen.
Because this is usually the thing. They're saying unannounced. It's what indie titles are going to be announced for the Nintendo Switch at this
time? I have no idea. I have not put
I've knocked it out of the park a few times, but right now I'm not. I just got out of the blocks back into work. You know what I mean?
No, I didn't. I
hope
didn't sit down and think about
maybe Devolver's listening and we'll finally put a release date on Ape Out. I don't think Ape Out was ever announced for the fucking Nintendo Switch. That'd be a great
game. That needs to happen.
Where the fuck is Ape Out, everybody? All I hear about is the goddamn messenger. Nobody's talking about fucking Ape Out.
What about Into the Breach?
Okay.
I think that'd be a great Switch game.
Okay.
That's kind of ideal for Switch. I think that'd be a fantastic. But have you played any of that?
No.
We had a guest on, I forget, a few months ago, a best friend came on Gamescast, and dude works at Sony. I forget his name.
Yeah.
But he was talking, he has sold me on that. That is great. But that would be a perfect Switch game. It's got a great fit. So let's say Into the Breach.
Okay. Sounds good. Number three, Remedy's making a third team. This is via Rebecca Valentine at gamesindustry.biz. That's right. The same Rebecca Valentine competing in the Kinda Funny Intersight Championship for the Per Schneider Cup.
Oh!
While Remedy Entertainment is hard at work on a supernatural adventure game, Control, it's not all that it has in the works. The studio is slowly compiling a third team to work on something a bit different. Speaking to PCGamesInsider.biz at Gamescom, Remedy Communications Chief Thomas Puha, that's right, friend of the show who came through a long, long time ago, with Quantum Break, said the studio is creating a third team to work on an unknown third project. Currently has one team focused on the upcoming release of Control, and a second creating the story mode for Slimegate-developed military shooters Crossfire HD and Crossfire 2. Quote, we're a multi-project studio. We're slowly building a third team with third team. With Control, it's redefining Remedy again. We made two very linear story-driven games, and again, we're going to have the story, but in a game that's a lot more adventurous, Puha said. Hopefully, it's something we can keep building more in the years to come. I feel very good about it. As a company, we're in a very good place.
My main takeaway from this story is that I can't hear the word crossfire and not hear that stupid commercial.
You'll get caught up in the crossfire! God, what a commercial. They don't make them like that anymore. You know what I mean?
No, one of those children is sent spinning off into the abyss.
Just dead.
At the end of that commercial.
Yeah, into a living hell of space. Yeah,
it's incredible.
Go get them, Remedy. I'm a big Remedy fan. I always want them to make more. Control looked awesome at E3. Excited to play more, but we'll see what happens.
Absolutely.
Number four, Jared. Let's talk numbers and stuff and dates and NPD. I put four different little tidbits in here.
Okay.
Well, I put three and you put a big one in. Yeah. I'm going to start with the big one. You put in Persona 4 Golden remains a bestseller for the PlayStation Vita. According to NPD, this is from Grayson Morales. Morales. Like Miles Morales. Yeah, what am I doing? Morales. Let me try again. Grayson Morales at Twinfinite. From Big Twinfinite Money, Jared Petty.
That's right.
Grayson writes, the NPD group has released info on the top 10 best-selling PlayStation Vita games for the month of July in the U.S. In titles such as Persona 4 Golden, God of War Collection, and a strange visual novel by the name of Muvlov Alternative continue to dominate the charts. This breakdown of sales comes from Matt Piscatella, friend of the show, a member of the NPD group, who posted the data onto his Twitter. Note that this top 10 list is based on dollar sales and not on units sold. Top 10 best-selling Vita titles for the month of July 2018. Number 1, Muvlov Alternative. Number 2, Psychedelica of the Ashen Hawk. Number 3, God damn it.
That's my band.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. God of War Collection. Number 4, Minecraft. Number 5, Code Realize Future Blessings. Number 6, Persona 4 Golden. Number 7, Digimon Story, Cyber Sleuth, Hacker's Memory. Number 8, Jack and Daxter Collection. Number 9, Call of Duty, Black Ops, Declassified. Why the fuck are you doing that? And number 10, 7 Scarlet. Seeing titles like Persona 4 and Minecraft on the list is not very surprising, considering the recent boom of the Persona franchise with Persona 5's successful launch. Minecraft also sells like hotcakes on pretty much every platform that it's been released on, and with the portable nature of the Vita, we can see why players would opt for this version of the sandboxed video game.
My friend,
yeah,
when can we get Persona 4 Golden on the Switch where it belongs?
Mm-hmm.
One of the best JRPGs of all time.
Agreed.
Locked away in our beloved, but let's be honest, underutilized favorite handheld platform, PlayStation Vita, RIP.
Yeah. Bloodstained pulling out. That's like, all right, what are we looking for anymore? You know what I mean?
That was, we could say, the stake in the heart of the Vita.
We could say that.
Yeah, P4G needs to be on Vita.
Here's my thing. It's like, you mean on Switch?
Switch.
I mean, I love Persona 4 Golden, obviously. I want to see that come over. I think it... it broke through. A lot of people bought Vitas for that game. A lot of people are happy. A lot of did all this stuff. Let's get Persona 5 on the Switch. Let's set the bar there.
I think Persona 5 could work fine on Switch. It worked fine on PS3. And I would anticipate that as long as there's not an exclusivity roadblock with Sony, both of those things will eventually happen. I think P4G is a little more likely than 5 based on just vague contract speculation that we get that first. I'm going to make a prediction that's not going to come true right now.
I love that. Here I love just wasting my time.
Go. All right. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Persona 4G will eventually come to Switch.
Uh-huh.
And Chie from Persona.
Yeah, I know her. I know her.
Will eventually come to Smash Brothers Ultimate.
No, fuck you.
Absolutely.
Fuck you.
It's already been a fighting game character.
No way.
Yep, Nintendo and Atlas. I would love that.
I would love to see that. If
you've played her in fighting games before, she's already out there, right?
Yeah, I mean,
she's
know.
Perfect
but
for Smash. She fits the color palette. She fits the moveset. She's a great character.
That's amazing.
And
that
you release her at the same time that this comes out on
this would have been an E3 megaton, and that would have fucking blown away.
No, I think it's like a year, at least a year away. I think it's a DLC thing.
Are you thinking Smash Brothers Ultimate's going to keep getting DLC like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. No one on the planet Earth bought a Wii U, and they still had profitable reasons to create DLC for it. Everyone on the planet Earth bought a Switch. Of course they're going to sell DLC for Smash Brothers. They're going to make 10 times as much money as they did, and it was already profitable.
Kevin, did they go to lunch? Is Tim still here?
No, they went to lunch.
All right.
Yeah, this is going to happen. Okay. There will be DLC.
For a year out, you think?
At least.
I don't know. I mean, here's my thing. The title's Smash Brothers Ultimate. Yeah. I thought, we're getting the fucking thing and it's out. I wasn't anticipating having to buy more stuff.
Is there any universe where
stupid.
You buy Smash Brothers and you get like 80 characters and you're playing it for 6 months and you're so happy and you're having a ball with it, and then it kind of, you know, you do the thing where you're like, okay, I'm playing it every now with friends, but I kind of moved on to the next thing, and you're at E3 and like, by the way, 6 new characters coming to Smash Brothers. You're going to buy those characters.
True. That's true. You're making great points. I'm being stupid. I was being naive. I apologize.
You're not naive. Don't apologize.
Pex writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hi, Greg and Jared. On yesterday's show, Jared asked us to write in with games we want to see released on Switch. I love talking about my favorite obscure game that no one else I know has played, and I would love to hear Jared's thoughts on if he's played it. So here we go. Feel free to cut this down since I know it's a bit long. The Curse of Monkey Island would be perfect for the Switch. I play it on the platform it's released on. I know it's the least loved of the original trilogy since Ron Gilbert, Tim Schafer, and Dave Grossman weren't involved, but I don't care. It's my favorite in the series and one of my favorite games, period. It's not fair that the first two games got remastered almost a decade ago and that this one got shafted. And he goes on to talk about how much he loves it, all these different things. Jared?
Yeah.
You kicked this off. You wanted a whole bunch of people wrote in with all sorts of stuff yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's exciting.
That's the only one I put in there because, I mean, like, it's just, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah,
I didn't actually check
the list out this morning.
Sure,
so
I didn't delete them, so you should get in there and look at it. There's a whole bunch of stuff there. What's the one that was on the top of your, what's tip of your tongue that needs to come to Switch?
So, oh my gosh, we're talking just obscure stuff?
I mean, you posed the question. What did you want to see released for Switch?
I mean, I think P4G is like my, but that's not really obscure.
That wasn't what he said.
Yeah, P4G is almost certainly where I would go with that question. But if I'm going to reach back in time for other things, now that we're getting Valkyria Chronicles.
See, that's my thing, I would have said Valkyria, but now Valkyria's coming, so who the fuck cares?
Okay, so I mentioned this someplace else, but Choo Choo Rocket.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Choo Choo Rocket. Yeah. I would absolutely love to see Choo Choo Rocket on Switch. It's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
You can play it with 4 Switch controllers. It'd be great around a TV. It's one of the best like party games ever.
Okay.
Yep.
Here's some more of those little quick factoids. Over at gamesindustry.biz, Rebecca again said Octopath Traveler topped NPD for July. Congratulations to that. Reset Era had this. For Honor hits 227,000, more than that, concurrent players on Steam, and is the 8th highest Steam game ever for concurrency. That's awesome for a game that's been out that long. And again, just has a community that's going. Ubisoft's got something there. And then Rebecca again reports in and says, wow, Battle of Azeroth launched last week, sold over 3.4 million day one copies globally. Blizzard points out that it makes it one of the fastest selling PC games to date, though it doesn't quite reach the heights of the company's other PC monster, Diablo 3, which sold 3.5 million day one copies in 2012.
When it was not actually nearly as great a game as it is now.
Yeah, I stayed home to play it. I came home to play it, and it was all that Air 34. Remember that?
When Torchlight 2 was the better option.
No, fuck you.
Oh, no, hey, you know what?
Nope, you talked down about Diablo.
I got a hands-on in that Torchlight Frontiers. It's still in the works. That is a fun video game.
Okay.
Look out for that, my friend.
I will.
Look out for that.
Blizzard also reported that means that Battle of Azeroth is the fastest-selling expansion ever released for WoW. So congratulations to all those folks. You added this one in, Jared. Yep. Tom Phillips over at Eurogamer reports Telltale changes course. At Gamescom today, in parentheses, Eurogamer's Tom Phillips, sat down with The Walking Dead's executive producer, Brody Anderson, to ask about his transition period and why it is so important for Telltale to change. Quote, it was really important this season to build some time in to make some improvements to the tool, that's the Telltale tool, to add polish and quality of life experience. Rendering was one of the big ones. We now have fully dynamic lighting. We're using a different art style we call graphic black, which is tailored to look like a living comic book. Animation as well, specifically facial movements, an over-the-shoulder camera, and unscripted combat, where in the past we've relied on QTE experiences. Quote, we're always pleased to innovate, and maybe in the previous season we didn't do enough of that. He's talking about Walking Dead, the final season, episode 1 available now. The expected move to Unity for upcoming projects like A Wolf Among Us, second season, and the in-development Stranger Things game will likely bring further changes, though Anderson would not be drawn on those.
Yeah, for context, earlier in the article, which we omitted here, they were talking about a potential move to Unity, and that's why I think wouldn't be drawn in.
Other changes at the studio are evident in the amount of output this year, far less than previous. 2017 saw nearly 20 episodes launch across 5 game series. In 2018, the only new season Telltale has launched is The Walking Dead's final run. Quote, there hasn't been as many products in the marketplace this year compared to previous, which allowed us to focus more and move to more of working on one game at a time with a dedicated team, Anderson explained. We do have other irons in the fire, but it's safe to say we're the biggest iron right now. We know we ran a little hot previous years and weren't able to fully deliver the experiences we may have wanted to. So that was important to focus in on a polished quality player experience we love. We took to the heart before the development of this season, and the team is excited about it. What is coming instead, just 4 episodes, each released 6 weeks apart, feels much leaner and more focused in comparison. For Clementine Swansong, Anderson says Telltale wanted to avoid any excess fat on the season's bones. The studio has also dated the entire season in advance, a first for the developer.
2 takeaways from this.
Play it on me.
First, this guy really into heat-oriented metaphors.
Irons in the fire.
Yeah, you got the irons in the fire, we're running hot, you know, things like that. But
it's hot at Gamescom, it's probably
Telltale may have just cannibalized itself a bit.
Sure.
I love Telltale games.
Yeah, me too.
I find them to be a consistently high quality, engaging, enjoyable. I am the target audience, but there were maybe too many for 1 year there for a while.
That's a lot when you say 20 for across 5. Yeah, I can see that. That I think cuts into their hype. I've always complimented the fact and thought it was astounding that Telltale, with the episodic structure, is able to be a headline every 3 months. And I'm talking about one game, let alone a million of them. But when there are a million of them, you start to drown out, right?
Yeah.
You need to do it. Have you played episode 1 of Walking Dead?
Not yet.
I have. Played it release night, which was, you know, last week or whatever. It's great. I eventually will get to a Gamescast where I talk about it and like review it or whatever, or give you more, but I don't care. I'll do it here. I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I think from the very jump, it's very noticeable that there's way more TLC in it and the game's running better than it's run ever before.
Okay.
Like there's just like, it starts with Clem and AJ in the car and Clem's driving, the windows are open, the wind's through and the D on her hat is flapping. Like, you know, it's like coming off unstitched and it's flapping. And it was just like, even there, it was awesome. And then, the way they use action, the way they change perspectives, the way it is over your shoulder, it is down here. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I have my, you know, not complaints, but issues. They changed the trophy system. It's like, whatever. Not because it's not easy. Stick with me. This isn't a normal Greg thing. Not because the trophies aren't easy, but because it did remind me I was playing a game. Of like, all right, I need to clearly go in that room, but I'm going to walk around everywhere and try to get the collectibles. And it's like, man, I probably, that's on me. I didn't have to do that. You know what I mean? But it was okay, cool. This is good. This is another step. I think the big takeaway I got from it, right, is that, I've said this, you know, season 1 was so great and such a high note, and then they kept coming and people, I think, stopped listening and stopped caring. I think that this very much speaks and acts like you don't need to have played all that other stuff. like you get a summation in the very beginning from Clem that kind of like, you know, for me, it went through my choices and like talked about what happened. And it's very season one heavy. And then a couple little things about season two.
Oh, by the way, all that other stuff happened too, but we know you didn't play that.
And so as a longtime fan, as somebody who did play everything, it's like I was having, you have a conversation catching up these new people on who you are or whatever. And it was like, oh man, this is kind of cool, but it lacked the impact because I did that in season two with Scott Porter's character.
Yeah.
Where I sat down and talked about Lee and I remember getting, you know, a tear rolling down my face playing it there. I was like, oh man, I really fucking loved Lee. Whereas like here, it's like, well, I kind of did this, but I also get that if you need a refresher or you haven't done this before, it's going to be cool.
So. I think it was a wise assumption on their part, although I do feel that you know, you are having a little taken away from you there and I definitely sympathize with it, but I think that the refocus made sense for Tilda. I do feel bad that they had to staff down so much.
Sure.
That hurt because I love that studio's work and want them to continue making great games. But it looks like the things that they're choosing to make right now are pretty good.
Yeah. Number six, final story on the Roper Report. You put this in as well. Call of Duty weirdness, you called it. Matt Kim at US Gamer Reports. Call of Duty WW2 announced its fourth DLC pack today called Shadow War. The new expansion includes three new multiplayer maps, a new war mode mission, and the final episode of the Nazi Zombies campaign. For a limited time, players will only need to party up with someone with the season pass to enjoy all the DLC content, even if they themselves don't have a season pass. The big surprise with the new DLC pack is that from August 28th to October 28th, players without a season pass can party up with one person with a season pass and share its content. Just make the season pass holder the party leader and start enjoying Shadow of War content and multiplayer maps.
I love that. I really love that.
That's really cool. That's a great way of how do you get somebody excited about the fourth DLC pack?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In terms of, sure, the people who have the season pass are, I'm sure, stoked and can't wait, but get somebody back in. Hopefully they buy it. They want to play it with their friends, do all these different things. That's really cool, especially this late in the game. Yeah, pay it forward and let other people play.
I really like that, too. That's a clever strategy. I hope they move forward with that.
Good job, Activision and Sledgehammer. Jared.
Yes, sir.
I can't wait to see how many people, what the success is on this DLC idea. You know, where would I go for games today?
You know what? If I wanted to know what to play, I'd look at the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I'm going to do it differently because it's Thursday, which means it's Big Switch Day. So I'm going to cross off everything that's not Switch so then I cannot have to worry about saying Switch.
Oh, wait. You're just going to wait. You're gonna
do it. Stick with me. The King's Bird comes to PC. Then Warhammer 40,000 Inquisitor Martyr comes to PlayStation 4. Then there's a new Fortnite patch. Have you seen this, Kevin?
No, I haven't.
There's a new Fortnite patch. It adds a new gun in there, but it also adds in an item called Rift to Go. So, Kevin, if we're getting blown away, something happens. We can toss the Rift, jump in it, and get out of it.
So it's like a portable hole from Toontown or something.
Exactly.
It's Fortifort, but better.
Exactly. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday, which means the Nintendo Switch eShop got updated, which means I'm going to read a bunch of games and not say Switch because you know they're Switch. Let's fucking do it. Behind the screen. Ferns Gate, Flood of Light, Gone Home. That's
Jared,
right. Gone home.
Jared Petty's Game of the Year 2013.
That's a good pick. That's a good fucking pick, Jared. Hacky Zack, which I swear I've talked about before, but maybe it's finally coming to Switch. Kuro Blaster, My Farm, Shio, Sky Gamblers, Storm Raiders. That's one game. The Low Road, ACA Neo Geo Real Bout Fatal Fury 2, Bad North, and Extreme Poker.
Extreme Poker.
New dates for you. Star Brigade Rebellion's rip-roaring 1930s adventure makes its debut on PS4, Xbox One, and PC next Tuesday, August 28th.
Actually, I believe that was Strange Brigade.
Brigade. You were right. I fucked that up right off the bat. Then I had out here the Call of Duty 4th Expansion Pack, August 28th, like we talked about. Senran Kagura series is making its debut on Switch with Senran Kagura. I said it right. Reflections. Thank you. September 13th. Brian Barnett over at IGN reports Destiny 2 is getting a free trial for the upcoming Gambit PvP/PvE hybrid mode.
Who cares?
Before the release, Andrew does. The release of the Forsaken expansion, Bungie has announced the trial will be available 10 a.m. September 1st on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. And then Bandai Namco Entertainment America is announcing Bless Unleashed, their first console MMORPG, which will be available in 2019 as a free-to-play title for Xbox One.
I'm interested to see the
that Namco almost made it to the Roper MMO. Report. I put it on there early when I wasn't sure how much news we'd have today.
Yeah.
Because man, they're putting out an MMORPG on the Xbox One.
Kind of curious what that'll be.
And it said coming there first, so I'm sure eventually it'll be everywhere.
I really am interested. Namco's kind of got an odd flavor to the stuff they make. Yeah. I'd like to see their take on this.
Well, Jared, let's see your take on some reader mail. But first, I'll tell you, it's brought to you by MeUndies. Do you want amazing underwear shipped to you without ever leaving the house?
Yes.
Yeah, you do. Thank you, Kevin. As everybody knows, we love MeUndies here. They're soft. They're great. They come in a bunch of different styles and a bunch of different patterns. And they're shipped right to your door. I'm wearing them right now. How do you know?
Sure.
Because I threw away the rest of my underwear when I bought my first thing of MeUndies and realized
they were good. Is that skin?
I got to go in there. Yeah, skin, all right.
Oh, God.
Just blue today. Just blue.
Oh.
So Greg Miller, yesterday. Yeah. During the ad read,
yeah,
I guaranteed people,
yeah,
that you were wearing your MeUndies.
100%.
What was happening?
I crushed it.
I guaranteed it.
We all guaranteed.
There was a lot of questions.
Again, it's all I wear for underwear, and I always wear underwear. I'm not one of these commando kids.
I explain that to them.
They're the best underwear you've ever worn. They release multiple fun prints each year and matching socks and bracelets. You get a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You're gonna love these undies, but if you're not into it, just send them back for a full refund. And now, there's the MeUndies monthly membership. Members gain access to exclusive prints that no one else can get. They get special member pricing on every product MeUndies makes, and you can switch styles or skip any month you want. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. That's MeUndies.com/gamesdaily.
Rad.
Let's get into some reader effing mail.
Let's do it.
I'm going to start with you, Jared, with two big Spidey questions.
Uh-oh.
Dylan Haas writes in.
All right.
Haas. To kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hi, friends. Do you think that Insomniac's Spider-Man is being over-marketed? I'm still extremely excited for it, but I can't help but think that they are going a little overboard with the number of trailers they've released slash what they've shown in them. Should they have shown the Sanctatorium, whatever the fuck they call Doctor Strange's house, and Avengers Tower before release, or would it have been way cooler just to let players stumble upon them for themselves? Should they have revealed Kingpin as the game's first big boss, or would that have been more of a fun surprise? I personally feel like they should stop releasing trailers at this point and just let us wait to see more once we actually get to the game in 2 weeks. Because aren't we already sufficiently pumped for this thing? Insomniac, y'all need to chill. Love the show. Keep up the great work.
All right, so what I got to say there is Insomniac and, honestly, Sony, who are probably really handling all of the marketing on this thing.
Yeah.
In their opinion, you cannot possibly be too pumped for this game.
Right.
This is Spider-Man.
But can you show too much of this game?
Can you show too much? You could, but you haven't. They have shown us tiny things in a vast, immense. Oh, Kevin's got his hand up here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kevin Coelho from the Kinda Funny Press Pool.
I've been like radio silent, so all of this was new information to me.
Yeah.
It sucks. But I mean, whatever.
Here's my thing, and you could have done what I did, and I'm sure that for some people there you should have, but if you were on Blackout, I guess you should have known. It's all public stuff that here's what I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
I've been on Blackout for Spider-Man outside of the demos I've taken, I didn't even read the Game Informer stuff, right? So, of course, I'd heard the Kingpin stuff in the beginning. Oh, I hosted the Marvel Games panel and all this different stuff. I've seen different things. I haven't watched any of the. They keep putting out combat trailers and exploration trailers and New York trailers. I don't watch it, but somebody will tweet me a screenshot of the Avengers Tower or him swinging by Doctor Strange's place. As I had said in previous Gamescast or maybe Games Daily, I was like, I will be shocked if those aren't there. Insomniac is building Marvel New York, and I don't think that means that it ties into Crystal Dynamics Avengers game. Mm-hmm. I think it's that if you're building a Marvel New York and Marvel's, you got Bill Roseman up there telling you, hey, fucking make your Marvel video game. Those things are going to be there, and those references are going
to
be there.
Those things have to be
exactly.
There. You nailed it. That's one of the things that makes the Marvel Universe so distinct and wonderful is that it happens in our world, a slightly different. It's not Metropolis. It's not Central City.
Yeah.
It's New York. It's New York plus superheroes.
Yeah.
It's the Statue of Liberty standing there. You've got Hercules tied by a giant river and by Quasar on it. You know, that's life.
Yeah.
That's what goes on in Marvel New York. And so I'm really happy about that. No, I don't think they're showing us too much. I think they're being extremely guarded in what they're showing us because there's a lot of game here.
And that's my thing is that, and I don't say this willy-nilly. I don't say this about every video game or every developer. I've been lucky enough to talk enough to Brian and James and Eric and Insomniac, you know what I mean? And Jacinda and host the panels and talk to Bill and all this stuff. Like, from what the way they talk about this game, and yeah. I don't know, you know what I mean? Anything we've seen is such the tip of the iceberg, if even that. Like this game, like I can't wait to get this game just to start it and see the map and explore. Like, just go find out what the fuck they've hidden in this game.
Yeah.
Where I think, yeah, you've seen two buildings and you know Kingpin's the boss you fight at the beginning. Well, that sets up the entire story and all this different stuff. I know things that happen after that that we can't talk about, right?
Right.
And it's like, those things, those reveals that are so early on, like, that only sets me up for, man, what happens 10 hours in this game? Yes. What happens 20 hours? How long is this game? How big? This game strikes me as just being fucking huge, and I can't wait to have it and shut everything off in my life and just play it. And just get lost in this world. And I don't, and I think, I understand what you're saying. Again, I'm not watching it. And I don't like the screen. Like, they'll put a new costume in there. And like, okay, sure, I won't say it. I assume that costume would be there. I didn't want to see it, though. But I didn't see it in action. I just saw screenshots in between me. It's like, whatever. I'm going to be fine. I don't care.
Before we move on to the next reader mail, I saw you give a little smile. I mentioned Hercules being tied to the Statue of Liberty by Quasar in a big ribbon.
Yeah.
Do you remember that issue of Thor? Is that where you're
grinning? I remember. I remember the reference, but I never read the issue.
All right, yeah. I bought that issue when it was new. I love that.
Kyle writes in and says, "Hey, my favorite chicken lovers. With Spider-Man being so close, I'm finding it hard to contain my excitement to the point I can't seem to play anything else. I'll play 20 minutes or so of multiple games, but I'm struggling to put significant time and energy into any one game because I know at the moment, Spider-Man is all I want to play. This is not the first time or game this has got me This is not the first game to get me excited enough that I struggled to commit to any other games regardless of when it was released. Have you ever struggled to put time and energy into a game because you're excited for an unreleased game? And if so, what did you do to keep motivated before that game's release? Thanks. Keep swinging that chicken style."
I cannot identify with that emotion or experience. That has not occurred to me before.
Oh, wow.
I've never had that. I always find something I want to play. There are times I don't want to play games, but it has nothing to do with another game coming out. It'll be for other reasons. My advice, if it's worth anything in that context, not completely understanding your experience, is, you know, just go grab GeoWars or something you can play for 20 minutes since then and play that until Spider-Man comes out.
This happens to me a lot.
Really?
And like, I think it was more prevalent before entering the industry because obviously you have to play stuff. I have to be current. I have to be doing different things or I have a review to do or did. This would happen to me all the time because I get in the mood for a game. And the thing I would say is, I know it sounds crazy, but I mean, don't play anything. Do something else. Read a comic, read a book, watch a TV show, watch a movie. Like, I feel like forcing it then would give you a shitty impression of whatever game you're playing.
Okay.
And, you know what I mean? And that's the thing
That's wise.
I think it's something something I had to work through at IGN or even here when we want to play a lot of stuff of, yeah, I'm really in the mood for this game. I've been in the mood for fucking Spider-Man for quite a while. Like, again, all I want to do is swing around and find the fucking backpacks.
No kidding.
That's what I want to do when I get this game. I want to get to whatever point that they stop, like, cool, the intro's done. Now it's your New York. What do you want to do? And I'm just going to be like, I'm going to fucking find backpacks.
Two questions.
Yeah.
One, what's an anecdote? What's a game that got you so excited that you didn't want to play anything else until it came out?
I mean, I think a good example would be Metal Gear 5.
Okay.
Where it was that, like, went down there for that review event, got to play hours and hours. Oh, no, that's a bad example. I think I left with a copy of that. So, no, that's not right. But even leading it, it does work. It does work. My example does work, right? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
God damn it.
No.
Just pretend it does.
No, I don't want to lie. I won't lie. I won't lie, Kevin! But, I mean, anytime you come up on a game, I feel like that you've been anticipating for so long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's the thing is, like, what will impress me with Spider-Man is if the story impresses me. And I don't mean that because I don't believe in them.
Right.
It's just like, I'm more excited to explore New York and do, what are the side missions and what are the costumes and what are the backpacks? And is it going to be like how Horizon was, where I was like, holy fucking shit, I'm really enjoying this main side. I would go do all the side stuff, but now I need to see what happens next. Is that going to happen?
Follow up. Are you going to play Sunset Overdrive anymore before Spider-Man comes out?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No. Honestly, Sunset Overdrive we were huge proponents of leading up to it. I played it at events and I thought it looked cool, but it was very much that, I think this looks cool, but I don't know, what's the hook to it? Like, what is the story to it? Like, is it just cool mechanics? Mm-hmm. And I forget what happened where it dropped when we were doing something or out or whatever. I don't know. And it totally passed me by.
I don't know. If you're ever going to play it, now would be the time, probably.
No. Now the thing is, I'm fasting.
Yeah.
So that when I get there, I don't want to play other open world games. Like,
that makes
you know what
sense.
I mean? I want to. I want to fucking knock out Spider-Man, and then I want to start getting hyped for Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
All right, makes
you know what I mean? You're right, because that's another game of like, yes.
Jared's college education, the game.
Can't wait. So you're exciting. Fucking kidding me, bruh?
My master's degree is useful at last.
Clarky wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to answer a question from yesterday. He says, yesterday, a father asked about good games that are able to be picked up and played in short bursts and mentioned being annoyed at the PlayStation 4's long startup time. A little known feature of the PlayStation 4 is the suspend feature, which is a setting that allows the PS4 to keep a game suspended in rest mode. This feature is amazing and I think can help anyone out there who needs to be able to shut off at a moment's notice. Suspending a game will help broaden what games you think about playing. I'm currently devouring Persona 5, 30 hours in, and taking 10 seconds to boot up my console up and have the game just be right where I left off the night before is dope as fuck. Cheers, Clarky.
Great advice, Clarky.
Yes, suspend is something a lot of people don't know about and talk about it anymore. The only thing that gets weird is if you want to play another game, obviously it's going to fuck it up.
This is a guy that's kind of not having a lot of... So it's kind of perfect. I was suggesting Minute because it's built around that kind of gameplay.
Yeah.
But he was looking for something meatier, and I think Clarky...
Yeah,
really,
no, if you're just using a better answer than I did. If the only game you're playing, one thing, go ahead and jump into it. And then I got 4 or 6 minutes. All right, fine. Adam Bankhurst, you get the final question of the day. You wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and said, with the positive reviews for Yakuza Kiwami 2 and the franchise becoming more and more mainstream, what other series do you think deserves more people's attention? I know it's getting there, but in my opinion, everyone needs to pay attention to Ori and the Will of the Wisps and Ori and the Blind Forest. They are fantastic. Thanks, and have a fantastic day. Yeah, Yakuza right now, again, killing it. And that's so awesome to see as someone who reviewed so many of them on IGN that was my reviews were going to a very specific niche. You know what I mean? But yeah, now it's breaking out and do it.
Well, I would say the first thing that comes to my mind, and this is based entirely on my bias and the kind of games I like to play, I'd recommend you take you revisit JRPGs. Because while there are some out there that can be a little rote and tropey, there are some absolutely excellent ones out there. And while games like Monster Hunter and Persona 5 really did increase their audience, they're still far smaller over here than they could be. Octopath Traveler is a great gateway.
Yeah.
I can't say anything evaluative yet about Dragon Quest XI, but I'm reviewing that for IGN, and that's a series that has never historically succeeded in the United States to the degree it probably deserved to.
I mean, Octopath Traveler in a similar vein, right? Of like, all right, it's top selling game for NPD in July, right?
Yep,
okay, that's awesome.
The World Ends With You is about to
right around the corner
on Switch.
Yeah,
that
game
didn't.
For
get
me,
the
I mean, the one that I think deserves more credit and I hope is about to get it is Valkyria Chronicles 4.
Yeah,
where I do think that game came around Valkyria Chronicles 1 on PS3 when PS3 wasn't a juggernaut and nobody cared. So it spoke to a very specific audience, and then it moved to the PSP, which is like let's continuing shrinking the audience. I hope that with 4. Number one, it's great. I hope it's great. I also hope, though, that when it drops, people are like, oh, it's on everything, and I've heard about this game. I've heard Clements and Greg talk about it. I remember those reviews. I saw it get re-released on PC and PS4, but I never really jumped on it, so here's my shot to get in on something new.
Well, for me,
demo's out now. Progress carries over.
I don't play the lottery, so I can't win the lottery. But if I did, I'd go to Japan, take a vacation trip.
Sure.
And I would take with me Valkyria Chronicles 4, Into the Breach, and then I'd probably take Tactics Ogre and Final Fantasy Tactics with me, and just all four of those, play them in one, like, two-month binge.
While hanging out in Japan.
Yeah, while hanging out in Japan, eating ramen. And then I'd probably die from all the ramen I ate.
Sure, that's a lot of salt.
Also, Ori.
Ori is a great pick, too. Yeah,
you are right about that. That's a great choice.
Would you take your wife? You left your wife out of that. You win the lottery, you take all these games.
If I take all these games, I'm leaving my... Well, she can come to Japan. She just, you know, I'm just going to play the games and
Not talk. Gotcha. Yeah, I've been very... this has been, I think, first time... You know, God of War was similar, but Spider-Man's on another level, where I'm, like, prepping Jen of, like, you're a Spider-Man widow. Like I'm not available to do things. Don't talk to me.
People who unwisely marry human beings like you and I that do this for a living, there's this weird thing where you have to be like, I have to review this now.
Well, see,
so
I know you're talking in the general. I do want to call out, of course, my wife, one of us. So the best thing about it is she's obsessed with Stardew on Switch. So like she has stuff to do in video game world. She understands shutting down to do that.
Oh, and Angela likewise has a variety of interests.
Sure. I have so many friends who, have married into, my husband or my wife didn't know that I love or doesn't love games. So I you're explaining like, yeah, cool. Don't talk to me.
Now, Angela loves games and she'll do something on the other side, but she has a spectrum. Also, let's be frank. I'm the least interesting thing in Angie's life.
What?
So there, she's got a lot to do.
Yeah, she's heard all your stories, I guess.
Yeah.
It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, giving me your name, your username, your platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. Today, Lethal Arrow needs help in Pokemon Go. His Pokemon Go number is 872-272-873-133. Lethal Arrow says, "Hello, KFGD. The newest missions in Pokemon Go for Celebi?
I don't know
Pokemon. Celebi. Require you to add 3 new friends, and I can't think of better friends than the best friends. So go ahead and add me, and I will send out gifts as soon as, or as often as possible. So hit up 872-272-873-133 and now, share your gifts, you nerdy birds."
Are we doing this one or not?
No.
Okay.
I'll let you know. Hold on. Who wrote in?
What? Who wrote in here?
I'll let you know, APW5029. Your trophy question made it, but it is one that gets asked a lot. Uh-huh. So I was going to use it as a fun one because Jared doesn't care.
I think you should just read our answers to all the questions. And not, without the questions, just read the answers.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Just all read right, the cool. Answers. All right. APW5029. The answers to your questions are, number one, Greg, DCUO. Jared, I don't care. Number two, Greg, infamous Jared, I don't care. Number three, Greg, Fallout 4 stupid shelter trophy. Number and Jared, I don't care. And then four, Greg, Metal Gear Solid 5. Jared, what is trophy?
There we go.
The best part is that, you know, the way they write in, they don't get to see anymore what their numbers were. So they have to like think it out and be like, oh man, yeah, what are my numbers? Jared.
Yes, sir.
We ask people watching on kindoffunny.com, no, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames as we record the show live, to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later.
If they are watching on kindoffunny.com, they're hackers like that girl in Jurassic Park.
It's Linux. I know this system.
It's
doesn't Linux.
She say? Yeah, it's just like, this is a Unix system.
Oh, Unix.
I know this.
It's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Everybody knows Jared was right about Wyvern. Calm down.
Wyvern. And Sigmund Kagura. What else we got here?
Mike says, just for clarification, after you complete the 2 years of Xbox All Access, you will own the console.
Cool. I like that. That's a neat plan.
The Amazing Jared says, just a quick update to Amazon changing the Prime discount from 20% to $10. Last year, Amazon... Well, this is from an old one, right? This is an old...
We didn't talk about that today.
Okay, I'm not going to put it in there. But anyway, I don't know what your update is. I
just broke his heart.
Sorry, buddy. Man, poor everybody's just saying, yeah, you own the thing.
Wow, were we right? Is this the day we were right?
We're doing all right.
I've been waiting for that day.
Mark Freeman says, Greg, you said Future Lab did not make money on Velocity 2X. This was not said by them, and I am fairly sure not the case, but based on discussions with them to be true. If it's just that they don't have the sales figures to show pubs. Bar the physical release that did go wrong and said they won't. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's actually right about that. Like, I don't think they ever said we didn't make any money. They just said we didn't sell enough copies to get a sequel made.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, they didn't have the number to show the publishers. Right. They had an install-based user base. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that story. I'm really glad you dropped that in the, news a couple of days ago. We had fun covering that.
A bunch of people write in here. Gone Home has been delayed till September 6th.
Oh, wow. Announced and immediately delayed, huh?
Zaire says, a Hollow Knight free Godmaster DLC is also out today and on sale in the eShop for $9.90. Zyger says Celebi is pronounced Celebi. So there you go.
Okay, there we go.
All right, that was it.
Pocket monsters. Gotta love them.
Digimon. Catch them all. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch it on a variety of platforms. You can see it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And you can listen on podcast services around the globe.
Woo-hoo!
Tomorrow, Andrea Renee joins me to close out the week. Until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you.